Yeah, no, you certainly don't flush it because there's a lot to learn. I mean, we have to understand how the game went, how they played us, what the schemes were. There's a lot of chess moves going on in that game that will be built on this game on both sides of the ball. And yeah, of course, the way the game is played, what we could have done better, certainly, what we did well. Same for them, I'm sure, too.
John Harbaugh, Ravens coming in a couple days. And we'll kick off Sunday Night Football. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy game week. We've been kind of into it. The season starts tomorrow with the Eagles and Cowboys from Philadelphia. They're going to raise the banner, and the Eagles say they didn't know about it.
Didn't know about it, or they're just not going out on the field for it? Because they're not going to be out there, right?
Sirianni says he didn't know about it.
He didn't know they were going to have a banner raising?
He did not know what was happening.
Interesting.
To the Western Hotline, let's check in on the Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher, Locked On Ravens, joining us here and writing at Ravens Wire. Kevin, good morning. Jeremy and Joe, thanks for taking some time today.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. I'm glad football's back. I'm glad we can have these conversations, and certainly looking forward to that divisional round rematch on Sunday night.
Yeah, the divisional round rematch. You know, around here, Kevin, it's a lot about Bills and Chiefs because they've lost a couple of playoff games. A couple. To the Chiefs. Here are the Ravens that have lost a couple playoff games in the divisional round of the Bills. How much do you feel like this building, budding rivalry that's also kind of a shared existence, right? You have a stud quarterback and have yet to appear in a Super Bowl. It's a heck of a matchup for week one.
Yeah, certainly a lot of similarities between the two teams for sure. And I think that, you know, the Ravens went through this last season in terms of going to the place of the team that knocked them out of the playoffs. They did that with Kansas City last season. They lost by Isaiah Likely's toe. Now, unfortunately, Isaiah Likely from Baltimore side of things is, Ian Rappaport reported, unlikely to play in this game. But, you know, it gives, from a Ravens perspective, an opportunity for them to, you know, the whole notion of a revenge game here, it doesn't really sit right with me. I don't think it's a revenge game. I mean, if there were to be one of those for the Ravens, it'd be in the playoffs. This is the regular season. Now, that doesn't mean it's not important. That does not mean it's not important. I mean, we know that the Ravens had a couple losses last season to teams like the Raiders, teams like the Browns, that if they had won that game, one of those games, it would have been Buffalo traveling to Baltimore. Now, of course, the Bills are much better than those teams. But these games early in the season, I know a lot of people, if you start 0-1, it's like, oh, it's your 0-1. You know, you can bounce back, which is true. But September losses don't matter in September, but they certainly do matter in December when you're fighting for playoff seeding. So for both teams, a fast start's important, and this game in week one is one of the most important of them all.
Yeah, it's big for the one seed, for sure. How do you in Baltimore view the playoff game? I think around here it's that the Bills got through it. They didn't do a ton on offense. They got the turnovers, which is a big reason why they didn't need to do more on offense. How do you and how does Baltimore view how that game went, and maybe who do they feel like the Ravens should have won and it was just a drop at the end that kind of cost them?
Yeah, I think the thing is that, you know, the Bills did enough to win the game. Like, you know, they didn't have turnovers. The Ravens did. They held on to the ball. They executed better in certain spots. I think the notion throughout most of Baltimore is that the Ravens really beat themselves in that game. And, you know, I think a lot of people would want to have seen it be more of a, okay, let's go and line it up without the turnovers. But you know what? The Bills forced them. And the Ravens, they didn't capitalize on opportunities. They started really slow. The defense also didn't force turnovers. I mean, it's not like Josh had one of his, like, signature 300 passing yard and 100 rushing yard games or something along those lines, like just torched the Ravens defense. But the Ravens defense struggled early in the game. And, you know, like everybody points to the Lamar interception early or the fumble or the Mark Andrews fumble, the 2-point conversion, which, you know, are huge turning points in the game. And look, you can't do that against a team like Buffalo, because even if they don't go out there and put up, you know, 35 points on you, and that didn't happen in this game, they still are going to be able to capitalize on that, and that's exactly what they did. The Bills did what they were supposed to do when the Ravens faltered the way that they did. So, you know, I know that a lot of people think, oh, this game is going to be like it's regular season, so that means it's going to be a carbon copy of week four last year. No, I don't believe that's the case. I think this will be a closer game than that was. I think it will honestly look a little more like the playoff game, but you know, to me, I think that the Bills did their job and the Ravens didn't, and that's kind of what it came down to.
How much did that game shape the narrative of the offseason for Baltimore?
I think it did pretty heavily. Obviously, for the Ravens and, you know, Lamar Jackson and his legacy, and Josh has his own, you know, playoff legacy, and that is a guy that can, you know, perform in the playoffs. But for both quarterbacks, they have not been able to get to the Super Bowl. And is it kind of mentioned that both teams trying to get over that Patrick Mahomes mountain, and the Ravens for the two losses they've had to Buffalo in the divisional round in Buffalo. For the Ravens offseason, there were always going to be, you know, additions they'd be able to make and draft picks they'd be able to get and all that. Free agency wasn't a huge, they didn't lose a ton of people, but you know, all offseason has kind of just been that same repeated question of can they get the job done in the postseason when it matters? And, of course, they've beaten teams in the playoffs. You know, this isn't like Justin Herbert, who hasn't won in the postseason or any of those, and Lamar is better than Justin Herbert. But, you know, to me, I think that you just hear over and over, and, you know, I'm sure it was tough for Mark to have to go through that all offseason and kind of hear that narrative. And, you know, it's something that they have put on themselves. That's how I kind of put it. They have earned this narrative that is being talked about around them of, oh, hey, this is a great regular season team. They're going to win double-digit games every single season, probably win the division. But, you know, in the postseason, they might win a game, but then they get to a team like Kansas City or Buffalo or one of those top upper echelon teams, and the Ravens are one of those two. But they get into one of those heavyweight matchups, and, you know, all of a sudden they can't get the job done. So they're going to hope to right that wrong this season, but they're going to have to deal with that narrative that, you know, I think was forged by what happened last season.
You mentioned it was a little bit of a quiet offseason. What across the whole roster, what would you say is the biggest difference between the Ravens from what we last saw and what we'll see on Sunday night?
Yeah, I think just improved depth overall and replacing pieces that didn't really help them last year. I mean, the secondary got upgraded in a big way. I mean, second half of the season last year, after that second Cincinnati game, the Ravens had a closed-door meeting. Their pass defense was atrocious, and they ended up pulling together. They're one of the best pass defenses in the league from the second half of the year on. They go and replace Marcus Williams with Malachi Starks in the draft. They signed Jair Alexander to replace Brandon Stevens, who went to the Jets. And then Jobe Awuzie, they brought in over a guy like an Eddie Jackson. So, you know, you have a lot more depth there. At the time we're having this conversation, it's unclear whether Jair will play in week one or not. He's dealing with a knee injury, which, you know, unfortunately for him, has kind of been the story of his career in terms of injuries. Great player, but unfortunately hasn't been able to necessarily stay on the field as much as he'd like to. But I think, you know, the secondary being revamped, and that's alongside guys like Kyle Hamilton, Marlon Humphrey, and Nate Wiggins. You look on the offensive side of the ball, not a ton of change there, for being honest. I mean, the biggest change there is, honestly, you bring in DeAndre Hopkins to be your number three receiver over Nelson Aguilar, which I think is an upgrade. He's not prime D-hop or anything, but I do think that he provides a pretty decent upgrade there. It really is going to be on the defensive side of the ball for Baltimore this season. They're emphasizing turnovers. They lost Michael Pierce to retirement, which in my opinion was their biggest loss of the offseason, but they're going to try to replace him with John Jenkins or some combination of guys on that D-line. So, I mean, yeah, it was a quiet offseason compared to, I think, other teams around the league. They didn't lose a ton. They gained a decent amount of talent, but they didn't go out there and spend like $100 million like the Patriots did or anything like that. But still, they made moves they needed to, and I think it puts them in a better spot.
Kevin Ostreicher with us from Locked On Ravens on the Western Hotline. Rappaport's reporting that it's not expected that Isaiah Likely will play on Sunday night. How big a loss is that for them in this game in particular? He led them in receiving in the playoff game. Also, was there talk of a contract with him before the year, and did the injury interrupt that?
I'm not sure if the injury interrupted or not. I don't have information on what happened there. I had seen some rumblings that something could have happened, but, you know, clearly we're here a couple of days before week one and that has not happened yet. I mean, it's a big loss for them for sure. I don't think a lot of people in Baltimore were expecting to play, and I guess that, you know, he's not officially out until he's officially out, but this was kind of the expected outcome here. He broke his foot pretty early on in training camp. He had to have surgery for it, and generally that recovery timeline is around 1 to 2 months. So, you know, it helps no one if you're the Ravens and if you're Isaiah Likely, if he gets thrown out there at 75% health. I mean, he's not the player we know he can be. There's high risk for injury. It's just, it's not worth it. So I don't expect him to play. That this report from Ian Rappaport tracks here, and I think that they can survive it still. I mean, obviously Mark Andrews is one of the biggest conversation points of this matchup in week one. So you still have him. You still have Charlie Kohler. You can also run a little bit more 3-4 wide receiver sets if you want to, but you can also lean on the run game a little more too. I mean, you can run the ball with Derrick Henry a little bit, see if you can get something going there. I know that generally Derrick Henry's not been the best against Buffalo in his career, but you know, he's had a couple of those big games, including one that we saw last season, so maybe Baltimore feels that they can get out to a fast start there. Likely someone that brings you a lot of dynamic ability. You know, he's improved as a blocker a lot over the course of his career at that tight end position, and of course, with him and his athletic receiving ability, I mean, he's a do-it-all player for the offense. But I think a lot of people, they're writing Mark Andrews off, and it's a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately league, so of course, last impression they've had of Mark was that unfortunate sequences against the Bills. I still think he's a top five tight end in the league. I mean, he's still really, really good. So I think that you can still rely on him, rely on Charlie Kohler, and get away with not having Likely on the field, although, of course, Likely adds a whole different element to their offense in general.
Yeah, Andrews had a crazy, because it started right with we were just talking about how he got in a car crash before the season, and then he was like weirdly wasn't at practice in the slow start. Like, did that really affect even, like, it ended obviously in a crazy way for him with the drops, but him starting the year really not being a factor, how much of that was injuries? I mean, he's only 29, so I don't know if we should be expecting like this to be, you know, it for him.
No, he still has good football left, and it was a weird start to the year. I'm sure that had something to do with it, and it's particularly just an example of in week one where the Chiefs specifically schemed him out of the game, which is why Isaiah ended up having the game that he had, and obviously could have had a better game had his toe got in bounds at the end there, but there were games early on where Mark was just not a factor because teams weren't letting him be a factor. And, you know, part of that I'm sure had to do with kind of recovery and the whole nine yards, but you know, that's kind of the presence there. And that's why Likely and Andrews together are kind of this dangerous duo here, is because both of them don't need to go for like 75 yards and a touchdown every single game to be effective. I mean, you have to cover them. And that's why I think it's kind of like a pick your poison offense here for the Ravens, where we know Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry dynamic. We also know that Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, DeAndre Hopkins is a great wide receiver trio. And then you add the tight ends into that, and it's like, who are you leaving one-on-one? You know, that's kind of the decision that you have to make. So you can scheme certain guys out of games. You can try to make guys ineffective. You can cloud coverage. You can do the whole nine yards. But, you know, in that offense, you're going to have to leave a guy one-on-one. It's up to that guy to win that matchup. But, you know, out of all those players, is that Isaiah Likely when he's healthy? You know, I think that's not something that Buffalo's going to have to worry about because Likely won't be on the field. But, you know, Andrews is a guy that still has a lot of good football left ahead of him. He's still very dynamic. He and Lamar Jackson, you know, they have some of the best chemistry in the league with all of the opportunities they've had together. So at the end of the day, I think that for Mark, it was a tough start to the year. He ended up leading the team in touchdowns. Yeah, so it ended up being a decently good season for him. But obviously, I think the next step for him is that postseason success.
Very good. Kevin Ostreicher of Locked On Ravens ahead of Bills Ravens. Kevin, thanks for the phone call. Thanks for the time, and enjoy the game on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Thanks so much.
As part of the Sunday night game, there will not be, I don't believe there will be a flyover. Because civil twilight.
Yeah. Mm.
So they could do one earlier. Of course, last year was the year we got into flyover radio, started talking to the pilots that are out there, and our buddy Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Abels, who usually sets us up with whoever, gives me a phone number, I get a call. We had such a good time learning about the planes and all that. Do not expect one Sunday. I've learned of civil twilight. That is a period of atmospheric brightness after sunset.
Yeah.
Or before sunrise. No more than 6 degrees below the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
Once that passes, you can't fly a plane over a stadium without, like, you know, right. I don't know, the president has to say it. Anyway, so expecting no flyover because it would be a little bit too late. However, there's going to be a drone show.
At the game?
Yes.
Sunday
night.
Really?
There is a drone show.
Wow, this is exciting. I did not know this.
The Bills will light up the sky for a drone show. The Bills have announced they'll be holding a drone show during halftime. Yes. Halftime.
Oh, okay. That's still good. Yeah. Still good.
The show is scheduled to be 8 minutes long, Bills-themed drone formations over Highmark Stadium. The show is titled Sunday Night Lights at Highmark Stadium and the first ever drone show at Highmark.
I think that's going to be sweet.
It's weather compliant. It needs to be whatever, weather dependent. Apparently they had one last year that got canceled because of weather.
So, okay.
Yeah. Sunday Night Lights, halftime drone show.
Have you looked at what the weather looks like for Sunday and Sunday night?
Give me an E-L-I-T-E.
Yeah.
Perfect night.
It is going to be. So I'll give you the whole thing. The high on the day is 63.
I mean, what's not to love?
The low is 47.
Even better.
But it appears as though around kickoff and during the game, we're talking low 50s.
Pants and a hoodie? Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's be real. Of all the Bills gear you own, you're out there listening. We like our jerseys. Put a jersey over a hoodie. You got good hoodies to wear. You've got much more gear that's fall-based if you've got Bills gear.
Sure.
I wore a Bills hoodie here today that I can only wear when it's a little bit cooler out.
If it's hot, you got like jersey and shorts is like all you can really do.
And sometimes when you're doing a jersey with short sleeves underneath, the jersey feels a little weird on your arms. Is that just me?
No, yeah, okay. a little bit.
All right.
The sleeves are long, right?
A little longer than a normal
T-shirt. Then
you
get
two different feelings. Anyway. 803-0550. My Twitter poll about the Ravens score 29 points. Who wins the game?
Mm-hmm.
The results have moved.
Okay.
Early on, the Bills were leading. They'll win the game. If the Ravens score 29, it was like 53%. Bills win.
Yep.
It has shifted. A 5-point swing. Ravens are in the lead in the poll.
Wow.
So, got 700 votes in. The Ravens score 29. Who wins? Nick comments, is the Ravens defense good? I would answer, I don't know, but last year in this game, the Bills had 4 yards per play against this Ravens defense. They did not have a great offensive day at all.
I mean, we've heard it from Joe Marino earlier, and we just heard it from Kevin a little bit. Their secondary is a lot better. There might be a linebacker you can go after.
Okay. So a Kincaid day.
They have awesome safeties.
Maybe a Kincaid day. Yeah, we'll see how Malachi Starks.
We'll see how Starks is, I guess.
Yeah, but Kyle Hamilton's awesome.
I would expect they have a good defense. I don't know if they'll have the best defense because they have a couple weaknesses, but like, yeah, they should have a good defense.
Yep.
I think I'd vote Ravens.
29 points will be enough?
Yeah, I think 29's enough. Maybe only by a little bit. But I bet it would just be enough. It depends. Like we didn't really see what the Bills, like if the Bills had to score in that game in the divisional round, what could they have done? Because they played very conservative.
Yeah.
They played to bleed the clock and to play it safe and to they played the game plan they wanted to play, which was we're not going to give them the ball. We get ahead and we're going to milk it, and that's what they did, and it worked. What happens if that didn't? What happens if the Ravens will turn the ball over and the Bills have to go toe-to-toe?
Well,
because they did score a touchdown on three of their first four drives, and then it all started to go away.
Right.
So could they have kept going? I think
After going up 21-10, the Bills went punt, punt, field goal, end of game.
Right, like they did. They weren't playing for.
They were also not very good at milking the clock. To start the second half, 3 and out.
Yeah, tough.
Second drive, 6 plays, 18 yards, punt. What did they punt from? What yard line is that? 4th and 5 at the Buffalo 48.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Field goal, 10 plays, 37 yards.
Now that's a good milking it drive.
It's
right
only
there.
4
30 10 yards. Of 37.
Right. In
10 for 37.
In the fourth quarter, they took 10 minutes off the clock on two drives that went 10 plays, 37 yards, and 11 plays, 52 yards.
So 21 plays for 92 yards in those two drives combined?
89 yards.
89 yards?
22 plays for 89 yards.
You got your plays in.
You got them,
like,
that's right.
You got a lot of plays in. You move the chains. But again, that's very different than what if Baltimore's got 27. They don't have 20 or 19. They got they got 27 and you got to keep going. You got to swing with them. What does that look like? Because I think that's more likely on Sunday.
They have to get their shots.
They're going to have to, yeah. You are not going to get away with. They took one shot down the field to Khalil Shakir on the first drive. And go look at Josh Allen's pass chart from that game. Nothing else. Everything else is around the line of scrimmage. And I would predict in this game that they're going to have to find a couple more down the field. You got to get a couple big plays.
803-0550. 1-888-552-550. I had something I was just going to mention to you. Oh, I know what it was. Speaking of the Ravens and, you know, the whole stadium stuff, they just released yesterday, Baltimore did, that at their stadium, 11 items are $5 and less at concessions.
Love that.
Yeah.
Couple teams have done that. Atlanta does that too.
My favorite thing about this, they put out a graphic. My favorite thing about this graphic the Ravens put out, flock friendly fare is what it's called. 11 items under $5. You've got your nachos, hot dog, pretzel, french fries, peanuts, blackbird chips, popcorn. A 12-ounce beer is $5 at a football game. 24-ounce wow. soda, 20-ounce water, $3.49. But here's my favorite. Barbecue chicken sando is what it says. A barbecue chicken sando, $4.99.
Wow.
Is sando just a, man, it's a Japanese-style sandwich. So a barbecue chicken sando, $5. Come on.
Family of four, $38. Four hot dogs, two popcorns, two pretzel bites, two waters, two beers.
$38?
For $38.
That's on their menu?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
That's nuts.
Good for them.
Right. Their the giant popcorn, $1.99.
Amazing. I mean, popcorn's pretty cheap.
It should be $1.99.
Yes, it should. Yes,
$7 at some events.
803-0550 on the Bills and the Ravens if you want it. And the NFL season opens tomorrow. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
I do like when the regular season rules are the same as the postseason rules. And overtime is being changed. Each team's going to get the ball. I like it. Overtime's going to be extended to a degree, but it's going to take a touchdown and defense to win. I mean, when you think back about it, you flip the coin. If you won the toss, took the ball, kicked the field goal from 55 yards, you won. People thought it wasn't fair. Then we said, okay, let's make it like we don't want it to be a one possession game. We want it to be where even if you score a touchdown, thank you, Josh Allen, even if you score a touchdown, the other team's going to get an opportunity to get the ball. So now we are the same in regular season and overtime. Each team's going to get the ball.
Remember that for 2025. Quick note here. That's Mike Pereira. I have it in my contract that I am not supposed to listen to rules analysts talk before the season. I feel...
I feel like that contract.
Yes, this is terrible.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, I'm sure, three plays into the game, I will get a rules analyst on my screen.
No, before that, the kickoff.
Kickoff, right.
There's new kickoff stuff. You're gonna hear them before the opening kick.
I'm just over here on a beach with a beer one day before rules analyst season kicks off.
Your season will open with the voice of, who's the NBC guy, as the kick is being kicked off. Who is it?
Terry McCauley?
Yes.
It's Pereira for CBS. Because
I can see Mike Tirico. I can hear Mike Tirico saying Terry McCauley. Yeah, unless he got hired by a team or something.
Terrible. I can't believe we're all just going
to... How long has it been with these rules analysts?
Since rules analysts became more prevalent in games than the actual players themselves.
Yes. Yeah,
it's been like
3-4
years.
The
Steratoring.
Feels like it's been forever.
You're referring to the Steratoring of America? Yeah.
The Steratoring
when we decided America. When every single broadcast you could watch, you'll watch.
Hey, this is a man who once called you his friend, didn't he?
You paid him to. You did on Cameo. Hey, UB plays St. Francis this weekend, and that broadcast will probably feel like it has to have a rules analyst. Like, you just don't need these people.
Because ESPN Plus
you don't
got
need
a
them.
Rules analyst,
you don't need them at all. They are not necessary.
I don't know what game I was watching, but I was watching a game. I think it was Mike Pereira was referred to as Mikey Rulebooks.
Mikey Rule Books.
Yes.
You know what? I might like that.
That's back. Really good.
I know.
That might grow on me.
I could not believe that when I heard that. I was in shock by Mikey Rule Books. What do we
Mikey
got going
Rule
on
Books.
Here?
I will say, they're not there for you, though.
Right. They're not there for anyone.
They're there for the guy.
They do not provide a service. They are there to get paid to tell people that can see things what they can see. Well, it looks like he got a foot down. Right. I see it. Thanks. They should be called play-by-play analysts. They more often than anything, they're telling you what you can see.
Right.
They're not under a hood and like, hold on a second. Yeah, I see he's got 1 foot. I'm going to look back in there. Hold on. You don't have access to this angle.
Yeah,
it looks like you only have 1 foot. You're watching the same TV we are. I'm not doing it. Not going to do it. I don't rant anymore. And they're not
Who's
even the guys making the call. People have been so brainwashed by rules officials, they think that the officials actually talking on the broadcast is now good.
Yeah.
Which is also horrible.
You're going to actually have double trouble here because we're going to get a rules analyst explaining the new first down measurement system
this week.
All over our broader
the
television
Hawkeye,
coming,
which
coming your way.
Changes nothing.
It really does change
Welcome
nothing.
Back. Welcome
that
back.
Is the best part. Is it really the Hawkeye first down stuff?
It does
really
changes
did nothing.
Nothing. The league is
it did nothing.
Keyed up on showing that as often as possible, and
it's such
changes
a farce.
Nothing.
It's such a farce.
Good times. Good. All right. What else?
It's trickery, is what it is. They're tricking football fans into thinking that they're doing something different.
It's the illusion of improvement. Jerry
the illusion
and Kenmore.
Of improvement is a good album cover.
Hey, Jerry. Good morning.
Good morning. Just to clarify something from yesterday, I've umpired for 25 years, and I've never called anybody oot. I call them out.
Okay.
It's route. It's not root.
Oh, this root is route. Sal was talking about this. It's route 20. Not route 20.
Route 20. Yeah. But you run routes.
But I run routes.
Right. Or you call people out, not
question.
Oot.
Question. How about this, though? This might be the ultimate answer. It's Route 20?
Yeah.
Okay. What happens when you're driving and you miss a turn on your GPS? The word that pops up is?
Reroute.
Rerouting.
It is rerouting.
Interesting. We reroute.
Not rerouting.
We reroute the routes.
Right. Which route are you going to take to go to the store?
Don't you enjoy GPS's like pronunciation of some of the local streets?
Yes. Always.
That is outstanding. Actually, some of my friends that I asked to call, so the way it says their names is a little weird, too. All right, quickly. I think you were talking about not throwing the ball down the field in the playoff game. I think they knew the defense was bad last year, and the offense was designed to protect that defense and keep them off the field.
Mm-hmm.
Long drives, run the ball, different mix. You know, it just feels like they knew it. And they finally got exposed, in the Kansas City game. Like they were just one domino away, and that domino was a corner being, your best corner being concussed. But I hope that's different this year. I hope they.
I would not expect it to be different in this game on Sunday, but after that, we'll see. I mean, they need a lot to go right on defense because of the changes they've made. Not really being fully implemented yet based on the personnel they might be missing.
Agreed. I don't think this is a bad loss for us, though, if we lose the game. I think this is a 50-50 game. They have the tougher division. I just don't want it to look like the game from
35-10.
Yeah, 35-10 game.
Yep.
I just... just compete, and if the safety is an issue this year, I just have the feeling they're going to try and stem the tide here and find a safety that you can trade, mid-season in a team that has dropped out or has fallen out, and that's how you shore that up. But I don't think we need to panic yet, and I don't think we even need to panic if you lose this game 27-24.
Yep. Thanks, Jerry. Thanks for the phone call. 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. Before we get to Extendo Sports, we got to process waivers. We had a former Bill become, future Bill, current Bill. Former Bill, future Bill, draft. the fantasy league that we are in, I have a win and Joe has a win.
Yep.
Here are the rosters. Next Bill, former Bill, to become a future Bill. I go last because I just had a win. You still have an open roster spot because you weren't here after the Poyer news.
Right.
So, Owen is up on waivers. He has Harrison Phillips, Levi Wallace, and Dean Marlowe.
Correct.
You can drop a player and add someone else at your discretion.
I think I'm going to swap out Dean Marlowe for a guy that already has a tweet out there. Bring back Lil Durdy. Isaiah McKenzie.
That's good.
He's got a tweet out there.
They bring back Isaiah McKenzie.
He wants back in.
Give me him back. I loved him when he was here. He was the best.
All right. Owen drops.
He's not latched on anywhere since he was with the Colts. He got suspended, and then
he's available. Keep him coming. Keep the faucet flowing. I just want to see more and more.
Okay. All right. So you dropped who?
Dean Marlowe.
Dean Marlowe dropped. Isaiah McKenzie picked up. Yep. This is the former Bill, future Bill draft. Josh has Ryan Bates, Kingsley Jonathan, and Tyrell Dodson.
Okay. I am going to be following in your footsteps with the Mike White idea, and I'm going to drop Tyrell Dodson.
Okay.
And I'm going to pick up Zach Davidson.
Okay.
He's not signed back to the practice squad yet.
Good pick.
Okay.
I like that.
Joe, you don't have to drop anyone. You have an open roster spot on former Bill, future Bill.
So I'm just adding. All right. Davidson actually was going to be the player I selected.
Ooh.
So that's not happening. I'm going to go. I'm going to go KJ Hamler. Yep. KJ Hamler. But maybe as a, could be receiver or could be for punt return duty. Something happens to Brandon Codrington. I'll go KJ Hamler.
Wow. All of a sudden, the Bills are all about adding receivers. You're up to like their eighth or ninth receiver.
Do you know the three receivers on their practice squad right now?
Christian Wilkerson, Steven Gosnell, and
Gabe.
Right, Gabe, of course. All right, I'm up next on former Bill, future Bill. I'm at SpotTrack looking at all of the... I mean, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to do this one. Love this pick. Did we decide it doesn't count if they were pre-McDermott?
We did, because I tried to draft Gilmore, and I was not allowed.
Okay, that's right.
Who was it going to be?
Was it going to be Robert Woods?
I mean, he's out there, but
because he got caught.
I don't want to do that. I got some Zach Moss.
Yep. Who I drafted and then dropped, I believe. Is that how that went?
I think you did.
By the way, on SpotTrack, both Gabe Davis and Jordan Poyer are listed as free agents. I mean, if you're on the practice squad, are you just still listed as SpotTrack as a free agent? I guess you could be, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, for veterans, that might make sense. Because
I'll go with Deontay Hardy.
Okay.
And it's, I don't love the pick. I'm really digging deep here.
I could hear it in your voice. You don't love the pick.
You know what? What about Quentin Jefferson?
Again?
You know what? Yes. Change. Quentin Jefferson.
Was his hand off the piece there?
I don't know how we want to decide
who did you take, by the way? Which receiver did you take? KJ Hamler.
Okay. Like, actually.
All right. So I've got Mike White, Quentin Jefferson, and Saran Neal. All right. There you go. There's our waivers.
All right.
Process waivers. Tonight, big night for us. The all wide receiver fantasy league tonight.
Yes.
You guys excited?
I'm very excited.
Yep. Got my board ready to go.
Play that horn.
Got to get my team name in order. Of course.
I think I'm waiting on seeing who I get to figure out a good team name. I think I'm going to do a player.
You're going to do it inspired based on who you draft?
Player name inspired.
Now, this league does not feature tight ends who are like wide receivers, right?
No,
just checking.
No, there will be.
Think
no
of him. There's not receiver spots, and there's no quarterback spots, but there's no receiver spots. And then think of him like a wide receiver spots.
There'll be none of that. No, I think you just figured out your
funny,
team
though.
Name though.
Yeah. T O H. Just put the abbreviation, and that's a position. Like, Austin Eckler. Oh, you could get away with that. You could think of him like a receiver. He catches the ball a lot.
Ty Johnson.
No, not allowed. 12. There'll be 100.
Could Josh Allen be in there, though? He did catch a touchdown last year.
120 receivers drafted in this fantasy league we're about to start.
You know what's going to be a great controversial day is if one of these tight ends is at some point listed with co-eligibility. Like if Kyle Pitts.
Right.
Not that Kyle Pitts is good.
Put down as a wide receiver tight end.
If the Falcons. Like they've done this before, where like he's only practicing with the receivers. They like list him as a receiver,
right?
And then chaos ensues because now there's a tight end available because he's wide receiver eligible.
Meanwhile, the Bills did create $8 million in cap space by restructuring Deion Dawkins today, so they have some wiggle room now. Let's see if they end up doing anything with that.
I think that was probably just to get them,
just to get in a spot where you can make moves. Like now,
but
the
anything like sure. Even
now
little
when the deadline
stuff.
Comes, they've got the ability to do stuff if they need to.
Right.
I don't think anything is impending, on its way. Imminent. All right. Extendo Sports, and then we hand you off to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Hey, everybody. Make sure you join Sal Capaccio, the Northtown Extra Point Show, live from Northtown Kia, 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst, tomorrow from 10 to 12. Stop by, say hi, grab a Paula's Donut while supplies last, score some awesome WGR 550 swag, and register to win an autographed Buffalo Bills item courtesy of Northtown Kia. No purchase necessary. Northtown Automotive, the official automotive dealer of the Buffalo Bills. We'll see you tomorrow at Northtown Kia with the Northtown Extra Point Show, live. NFL season starts tomorrow.
Last day of the offseason. Today?
Last day of the offseason.
Last day of drafts for most people.
Listen, I got two drafts tonight. I had two drafts last night. The last two nights, I have been playing bedtime stories in between 2 4-year-olds while also picking fantasy teams.
Yep.
Like, there's a little story like, hold on. Yeah, DK Metcalf and draft. Mm-hmm. Put the phone down. Like the nice thing, though, I scored huge yesterday because I'm in a guillotine league with just 20 people, our big guillotine league. We go to 20 people because we do a double elimination and a three-team final. I scored the number two pick. And nice. If you're putting kids to bed.
Oh, perfect.
You want
pick, 20 minutes between
and
picks.
And then you're up in 40 picks.
Yeah.
Great. That's exactly what I wanted.
That was actually, so me and Owen are last night at the WGR league, Paul's draft, and that started an hour before our guillotine draft. So Paul's league is ending. Guillotine draft is going on. Me and Owen are both at the back. I picked 20th. What'd you pick, like 17th, 18th? We're both near the end of the order. So there was enough time in the guillotine draft. Finished Paul's league, said goodbye to everybody, made my selection, drove home, not like super, like 12, 15 minutes, drove home just in time for my next pick.
I think I literally parked my car and got a notification that was like,
you're clock.
Up.
Yeah.
It was pretty sweet.
Guillotine might be the only spot that I really don't like auto pick. I get it. I'm not mad at anybody out there. If you go on auto pick, it's fine. But there's a small, tiny frustration of, ooh, the guy I really want is the top guy
He's
the top guy on the board.
There should be a rule that if you're on auto draft, you don't get the top guy. You get the third guy.
Maybe.
Eighth guy.
But
or it's random. Random number selected between 1 and 10.
Yes.
And you get that player down on the board.
I might like that because you're sitting there like, oh, it's three picks away, and there's two guys on auto draft. Like, it's not going to last.
It's not going to happen.
And normally, that person might last because these teams. So,
yep.
That feeling of, oh, man. Come on. Click it off of auto draft. Come on.
Yep.
Anyway, who did I lose to that yesterday? I found my way to some DK Metcalf last night for the first time.
I'm in on Kroski Merritt, which is not probably
Metcalf?
Smart.
Rogers throwing to Metcalf. He's going to throw to him. And he's the only receiver on the team that's good.
I like Freiermuth there.
It's my only Metcalf share. I got some last night. I was like, you know what? Why not? I like this. I like this play.
Yeah, I'm not that optimistic for that. Like,
I would say,
I guess he has no one else to throw to. But
if you're in a guillotine league, rounds 4 and 5 are terrible. Yeah. By the time you get to the middle of the draft, just like I don't want anybody. No one on this.
Right.
The thing about Metcalf though is he's just not like. he's not a 160 target guy like Davante Adams or Garrett Wilson were.
The only thing about Davante Adams,
he's not
though,
a route runner, separator. He's a downfield guy.
I love Adams. I've been fading him just because I don't want to rely on Matthew Stafford's back.
Yeah, and he plays Houston's pass rush in Week 1. Right. That could end quickly.
All right, we're back tomorrow to open the NFL season. Extra Point Show coming up here on WGR.